What's good, everybody? Potos here at the Puck Empire podcast, and I'm joined with Taryn, Joe, and Kevin. You guys can introduce yourselves real quick.
Yeah, what's up, everyone? I'm Taryn Jote, straight out of Calgary. I don't really go by my name out there that much, but yeah, I'm trying to give it out as much as I can now, because obviously I'm trying to go into the industry, so as much as I can. But yeah, I run straight out of Calgary, have been for almost 6+ years. So yeah, go Flames.
Hey guys, I'm Kevin, and I am the third member of this podcast. I've been a hockey fan for, I guess, almost 10 years now, and I have a huge passion for hockey. So I'm really excited to be chatting it up with these two. And yeah, should be good.
Yeah, he's our cap-friendly extraordinaire, so there's that.
So we just wanted to, we've been waiting a bit to release, like, the podcast and stuff, and we decided now is the perfect time because it was right after the draft, right before free agency. So just going to go over all the stuff that have kind of happened the last couple of days, and also what's going to happen in the next couple of days that are coming up now. So I'll let Taryn Jote start it up with the draft talk.
Yeah, and then obviously the last 2 days, like when we recorded this, the last 2 days have been taken over by the 2022 NHL draft, and then it was in Montreal, and Montreal had the first overall pick, and we all know what they did. They didn't take Shane Wright. They did not take Shane Wright. Much to some people's dismay, they didn't take Shane Wright, and instead they took Juraj Slefkovský. So why don't we start off with that? What do you think about it, Panos?
All right, so I released my pre-draft rankings in May, and then I posted on my story a day before the draft, and I was getting a ton of heat for not having Juraj Slefkovský at the top two or even first. I had him at 5 on mine, and I think people think that I think he's, like, a bad player, but I had him at 5 on a list of, like, 225 people. I still think he's really good. He's a top 6 forward. Like, everyone thinks I hate him. I don't hate him. I just don't think he's, like, a number 1 or even number 2, like, overall pick. So I didn't really like the pick too much. I think you have to take Shane, right? He's, like, a future top 10 center in the league. But I don't think it's a terrible pick, because Slefkovský's still going to be a top 6 forward at the NHL level. He's going to be, like, a 60-point guy minimum. So I don't know. I didn't like it that much, but people who think I hate him and think that he's trash, like,
yeah, kind of tough. Yeah. What about you, Kevin? What did you think?
Yeah, kind of tough for Habs fans that waited all year.
Pain for Shane.
Yeah, they're so excited for Wright, and last minute curveball there. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I'm on the same boat as Panos. He's just not the best guy available, in my opinion. The best guy available is Shane Wright, and Slefkovský is a good top 5 guy, or top 5 pick. So, yeah, not a huge fan.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as well. Originally, I did think Shane Wright was going to go in, but after Bob McKenzie took out his ranking, I was like, yeah, he's probably going to drop a little. I didn't think he was going to drop till 4. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, 4. Yep, he dropped to the Seattle Kraken, so. And then, yeah, I still think it's a fine pick, but at 1, I don't think so. Taking him over Shane Wright is not the right pick, but only time is going to tell. And then at number 2, the Devils took our boy, Simon Niemek.
Simon, yeah. I think it's a, like, I honestly don't mind that as much as taking Slefkovský over Wright, because, like, with Montreal, you, like, it's Shane Wright and Slefkovský, okay. New Jersey, they've already got Hischier and Hughes, so they've got their two center guys. I still think you can move one of them to the wing and play Shane Wright at center, or move Shane Wright to the wing. But at least with Nemec, they're getting, like, a top-tier defenseman for the future. And then for Arizona, passing up on Shane Wright, he didn't even want to go to Arizona, according to reports. He didn't want to be an Arizona Coyote. Meanwhile, Logan Cooley wanted to be an Arizona Coyote. Yeah. It was, like, his number one choice. So it made sense for them. It's honestly, Montreal is the team that, out of all the three teams that passed up on Wright, like, the worst choice.
Yeah, what did you think of that Nemec pick?
Honestly, my hot take is that I don't even think he's the best defenseman in the draft. That's my hot take. But as Pano said, I don't really mind it that much either compared to Montreal. It's good to fill out a position of need for the Devils. As you mentioned, lots of center depth there, but also, like you said, Shane Wright is an unbelievable talent. I don't know why you can't move someone to the wing, but I don't know. It makes more sense than Montreal. So that's what I think of that.
Yeah, and then I forgot to point out that when Shane Wright went on stage after getting picked by the Kraken, he also gave down that stare at the Canadians table, which was probably the best moment of day one. And to all the Habs fans out there that think he's a cocky, arrogant player and he probably didn't even want to be in Montreal, that's not the case. Let's tone it down a bit. Mm-hmm. And single-handedly, he would have been the best player on your fucking team. Best player on your team. So I don't know how you guys could say he's cocky and arrogant, but he's going to come down and come down to Montreal and you guys are going to boo him and he's going to score like 3 goals.
I hate that talk, eh? That he's arrogant.
Yeah.
Hate it.
I have no clue. Because Kent Hughes said it too after his, he didn't really say Shane Wright, but he said Slefkovsky isn't arrogant or anything. I don't know. It was I misread the quote, but he said something along the lines of that, and it pretty much means that he was talking about Shane Wright. So
the thing for me, bro, is how do you let Seattle in their first 2 drafts in the NHL get the future top 2 centers like in the league, like a top 2 center punch? Like when I think of these guys, I think of like Malkin, Crosby, like not at that level, but like it's like a top tier 1-2 punch that's gonna be there for 15 years now, like Shane Wright and Matty Beniers in their first 2 drafts.
If I remember correctly, Beniers has a good two-way game, right? So that's 2 really good two-way centers. So, scary for the Pacific Division there.
Yeah, the Pacific Division gets scarier and scarier. And the rest of the rest of the draft did pan out. At number 5, I'll let Panos take the reins here. Let's see who was it. Let's hear it.
At number 5.
Yeah, let's test your knowledge, Puck Empire.
It was Cutter Gauthier. Come on now.
Good job. There you go. Cutter Gauthier.
That was an interesting pick. He wasn't he wasn't ranked number 5 on mine. He was ranked 17th on my final draft rankings. But I don't hate. He's a gritty guy. He's good. Yeah. He's talented. It's just like a little bit of a reach at 5, but everyone kind of knew the last couple of days that Philadelphia was either leading towards like him or Yurecek. So I wasn't entirely surprised by it.
Yeah, what did you think about it, Kevin?
Honestly, I don't know too much about Gauthier, but, Broad Street bullies, right? So, not many thoughts there.
Yeah, the top 10 was pretty nice. And then, obviously, the pick that Ottawa got... the pick that Chicago got from Ottawa in the Alex DeBrincat trade, they obviously chose Kevin Korchinski, which was... It kind of did scratch a few heads if you didn't know who the hell Korchinski is out there. What did you think of that? Was it a reach or was it just a normal pick?
I honestly liked the pick for Korchinski. Mm-hmm. I actually am like a big fan of Korchinski. I was a fan of Korchinski and Matichuk, both those defensemen. I had Korchinski. Mm-hmm. I had him like at 12 on my draft board. Most people had him like lower. So maybe that's why I liked him more than most people. I don't know. I think it's a good pick for Chicago. I think people kind of hate on it just because of the fact that, you know, you kind of traded Alex DeBrincat for him. Like, that's the main reason of Alex DeBrincat. Yep. Which makes sense. I can see why people would be mad about that because you don't really get a game changer, but he's still a future top 4 defenseman that's going to be good in your lineup for a long time.
Yeah, and then another big story for day one of the draft was obviously the Russians going so late. Originally, both Danila Yurov and even Ivan Moroshnichenko, I probably butchered his name, but they were all going to go in the top 15 originally, but then obviously because of the whole Russian situation in Europe against Ukraine, and now obviously the Fedotov story and how he's been shipped off to a military base and he has to serve there, that's also raising a big question right now in the NHL. And originally, I did think they would go top 15, but because of that whole story, they obviously were going to drop because GMs do value how quickly the player is going to come into North America for people that aren't in North America currently. So, yeah, I don't know what to do with that pick, even though Washington got a steal with Ivan and then the Wild got Yurov at 24, which is a steal. What did you think of those two picks, Panos?
I really like them both. I think that I'm not even gonna try and say his name, but Ivan, he's really good. He reminds me of Ovechkin. Obviously not as good as Ovechkin, but like his game style, he's a really lethal shooter, and he's basically, you just replaced Ovechkin with a slightly, not slightly worse, but like basically another Ovechkin for another 15 years now, because he's just a pure shooter. And then I like Danila Yurov a lot. People who followed my drafting, I had him at 3. I really, really like him. He's really skilled. Yep. And Minnesota just keeps taking the best player available all the time. And they've gotten some sick players for the future.
Yeah, and then another player that did drop, Brad Lambert, to the Jets at 30th overall. People were kind of surprised by how far he did drop, even though he did have a on-again and off-again season. So what did you think of that pick? Steal, right, at 30?
Yeah. Yeah, but I feel like it's kind of weird just because, like, he didn't really look like – I don't know if he was just, like, mad or sad that he dropped to 30, but when he got drafted by Winnipeg, like, he was, like – he didn't really look even happy to be going to Winnipeg. I mean, I wouldn't be happy to go to Winnipeg either, but, like, he's really happy to be drafted for so long.
Yeah, Winnipeg fans aren't going to like this, especially your boy Carter in the chat. He's not going to like it. And then, that pretty much the first round had some reaches and some solid picks. Like what's a whole
what's
reach?
Your
like,
best pick of the first round?
Best pick? You have to go with
Shane
right at 4.
Yeah.
Like, I think the biggest reach in the draft, in like the first round of the draft, I think it was number 25, where the Blackhawks took Sam Rinsel. Like, what?
Oh, yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I don't know what they were doing at that pick.
Byron Bader. Byron Bader. Rinsel wasn't even in his list of prospects. So if that means anything, that's incredible.
Yeah. The draft altogether, it was actually very fun. Obviously in Montreal, and the first in-person draft since 2019 because of COVID. That's the first round. We won't really get into the second through seventh because that would take an eternity. What's another pick that you really liked that was outside of the first round, Panos?
I liked Owen Beck to Montreal. That was one that I liked. I liked Matias Sapovalov to Vegas. That was another one. My favorite one, though, was Seamus to New Jersey for sure. Seamus, I had him as like a top 20 pick in the first round, and he dropped to like 45 or 46. I think he's really talented offensive defense. He's undersized, but he's really good.
What was your pick? What was your favorite pick, Kevin?
Of rounds 2 to 7.
Yeah, just give me your random name.
I really did like Carolina's pick of Gleb Trekhozov. Very skilled, dynamic forward, very smart. So really liked that pick. Also really liked Montreal taking Lane Hudson, even though it's a bit of a risk, but his upside is huge. So
yeah, that's another that was a really nice pick, yeah. And then obviously there are some winners and some losers. So who's the biggest loser from this draft in your mind, Panos?
Well, I did my draft grades a couple hours ago right after the draft, and I went with Colorado, but like they didn't have any picks. So for the actual biggest loser for me, for teams that had picks, I'd probably have to go with Edmonton just because like Reed Schaefer at 32, I didn't even have him to like I had him like at like 90 something. I didn't really like him that much. And then I didn't have any of their other guys even going drafted. So I really didn't like Edmonton's draft. They don't need a good draft at this point. They're contending. Yeah. So like they don't need to have an insane draft to build the prospect pool, but it wasn't that great of a draft. And Toronto also, I didn't really like Toronto's draft either.
Yeah. And then same with Ottawa. Like what was Ottawa doing after the first round? Like what did they really do after that? Yeah. Nothing.
Well, they didn't even do anything during the first round. So.
Yeah. They didn't do much. Like even last year, you saw what they did with, I think it was last year, right? Tyler Boucher, or was that the year before?
Last year.
Am I tripping? Yeah. You saw what they did with Tyler Boucher in the first round. That was the biggest, mind-boggling pick of last year. Yeah, pretty much. Like, even, I don't really think Jake Sanderson.
You can't chirp them, though.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
They picked up Alex DeBrincat, so like they got a 40-goal score, so their draft night, even with all the terrible picks, was still like an A+.
Yep.
Yeah, I rate that. Yeah. And then obviously you look at the draft from Winnipeg, the draft from Seattle, even Arizona as well. And then obviously Carolina picking the best available player all the time. Like, they're never hitting, they're never missing with their picks. They're never reaching. They're never they're taking a player.
They're definitely on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone on Twitter loves Eric Tulsky, so there's that. Kevin, you can probably pitch in as well. Like
it. Oh, yeah, no, they had a great draft.
Kevin said his favorite player was Gleb, right?
Yep, great pick. And even their pick in the third round, forgot his name, another Russian, if I can find it. Yeah, there it is, 71st overall, Alexander Prevalov, another great pick there.
Yeah, he's good, too.
Yeah. Carolina just keeps picking the best available player, and teams should probably take note, or they're going to have a stacked damn prospect pool all the time. Even like taking Gruden in at 156 was a goddamn steal at the time.
Yeah, and then they got Forsmark too at 101.
Yeah. They keep improving through the prospect pool and trading away shitty pieces like D'Angelo. And then, yeah, that's like winners and losers. We can't really say as of now because all the players are fresh and they're not, because some of them aren't going to make the league for another 2 to 3 years, maybe even longer. So in our minds, yeah, those are the winners and losers right there. And then obviously I mentioned it before and how the draft was in person again, breath of fresh air. Obviously rounds 2 through 7 finished quickly instead of last year where it took 8 hours to get through rounds 2 to 7 because it was virtual. What did you guys think? It was obviously a breath of fresh air instead of virtual. So should it stay this way, or we're recording through a virtual means? So why not keep it virtual, huh? Why not?
No, I really liked it. It was the most fun draft in a long, maybe as my entire time of being like an NHL fan or covering the NHL, mm-hmm. like that was the most fun I've had watching a draft. We had a ton of trades.
Oh yeah.
We had the moment with, as we said, where he was staring down Montreal's scouting staff. So I liked it. It was really fun to watch.
Yeah. Crowd was wild.
Oh, yeah, and even Isaac Howard, the pick. Yeah, even the pick to Tampa Bay, the suit he pulled out and how Jaromir Jagr chirped him for wearing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think of that? Oh, good old NHL player chirping a player in the new age. What do you guys think?
I think it's pretty funny, but I hope it's not that serious, because it's I love the personality that Isaac Howard is showing. I absolutely love it. So I hope it's more lighthearted, but it's pretty funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Here's what Jagr said. Oh,
Pierre Maguire, though, eh? During the pick, I didn't like Pierre Maguire. He was like, oh, Steven Stamkos is not gonna allow this in the dressing room. Like, no way. Like, Pierre, man, he's been fired like 5 different places in the last year. Like,
yeah, that was probably the biggest.
No one wants you around anymore.
Like, that was probably the biggest L sports have taken. Like, why would they even bring on Pierre Maguire?
Yeah, I have no clue what they're doing.
Yeah. You can't teach size. You can't teach. Him and Cosentino were hammering down on size, which is like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, obviously. And then obviously the Jagr thing. He said, hockey has changed. The kid is lucky it's not 1990. Big guys would change his face with the eyes raised emoji. The Montreal draft was a huge success. And then Renaud Lavoie of TVA Sports, he said, he's heard from several teams around the that were at the NHL draft that they want the draft to take place in Montreal each year, partly because of the city and the fans in the building, how big of a atmosphere it was and how everyone was included. Like, there were fans from different teams. I mean, that's a given with every draft. So what do you guys think? Should the draft be in Montreal every year, or should they change it up?
Change it up.
I think...
Why not? Yeah, why don't you guys like Montreal?
You have to bring it around to different markets.
Right? Yeah, that's true. Yep. So yeah, there's the draft, the 2022 NHL draft in Montreal. It was a huge success. Big numbers.
If I could...
Yep. You can add.
Sorry.
You can add.
Sorry, yeah, no, quickly. I just wanted to talk about a pick I liked and a pick I didn't like in the first round.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so one pick I really liked in the first round was 12th overall, Denton Mateychuk. I'm here to spread the Kevin's... propaganda.
Absolutely. Yeah, Kevin's the president of the Denton Mateychuk fan club, apparently, right?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. So when I said the thing about Nemitz earlier, where I don't even think he's the best defenseman in the draft, the hot take is referring to Mateychuk. My hot take of this draft is that he becomes a top five, I guess, player of this draft. You know, he's just, his instincts are amazing. He has a fantastic skill set, uses his body and stick well to protect the puck. Like, his vision is amazing. So really, really high on that guy. The one pick I did not really like, considering the context, was Connor Geeky at 11. I don't know why Arizona traded three picks to reach on him. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of the player. I think his skating is really, really tough. And I don't like his hands. So if you're gonna be a net front guy and be that big body presence, you need good hands to have success in the NHL. Otherwise, you're just there. So, yeah, not a huge fan of that pick at 11.
Yeah, and then obviously again, like, Rucker McGroarty at 14 was kind of a reach. Like the Jets easily could have got him with their late round pick, and then they even could have done that in the second round. But obviously, McGroarty is a great player, but not 14th overall worthy. You guys agree?
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't hate the pick, honestly, just because of his leadership and like his two-way game. I did like that part of it. Like, he seems like a guy who would want to play in Winnipeg just because he loves hockey and he loves, like, the hockey market. And you have to find guys who want to play for those markets like Winnipeg where no one wants to be there. You have to find guys who want to be there on the team. Same thing I said with Logan Cooley at Arizona. Like, sometimes you don't take the best player available because you'd rather have the guys who want to actually be in that market.
Yeah, that's the 2022 NHL draft in Montreal in La Belle Province, if you want to take the French route. Yeah, that's the 2022 NHL draft. And then... now, the big thing after the draft is obviously free agency. Or, no. We forgot the trades. And then, obviously, there were some big trades during draft day and before. Like, even a week and a half before. So, to start things off with the trades in the NHL, obviously, there was the Kevin Fiala trade. Kevin Fiala for Brock Faber and the Kings' first-round pick. What did you think of that, Panos? I know you have some inside info for us.
Yeah, so I don't know if people know this, but I'm like, LA is one of the teams I'm most connected to, like, through insiders and stuff. And I know that they've been looking for a top six forward since, like, ahead of the trade deadline. They were looking at guys like Connor Garland. They were looking at guys like Philip Forsberg. Brock Besser they called in on. And another guy they were calling in on the last few weeks was Kevin Fiala, and they ended up getting him, 16th overall pick. And they got him for 19th overall pick in Brock Faber, who was not going to, he wasn't going to sign in LA. He wanted to go to Minnesota the whole time. So I like that pick. I think you needed to get that because the whole season, like, that first line in LA was honestly the anchor. Like, Alex Iafallo should not be in your top six, not a top six forward. He was killing Anze Kopitar and Adrian Kempe at 5v5 just because he can't drive offensive play. He's a very good defensive player. I would have him in the bottom six, but he's not a top six guy and he's not a first line guy. So adding Fiala now, that's really big.
Yeah. What did you think of that trade, Kevin?
Yeah. Same thoughts. If you watch the Kings in the playoffs, they had to work for, all their goals. Like, goals did not come naturally to them. So adding a natural scorer like Fiala, it's absolutely great acquisition. It'll huge boost to their top six.
Yeah, especially for how he's fairly young and he fits right in with that young core that the Kings are trying to build. And obviously, like you said, he's a great piece for their top line. And hopefully it does pan out because Brock Faber was one of their touted, like, not really like the biggest touted prospect that LA had. Obviously, we know their prospect pool is very deep at the moment. So, yeah, if Faber wasn't going to trade in, sign in LA, sorry, obviously, you ship him off to the place where he wants to play instead of just forcing him to play. Obviously, we saw that with Adam Fox in Calgary and how he forced his way to Carolina. Didn't want to sign there. Forced his way to New York. So I think that is becoming a norm where players out of uni, like, they want to play for their hometown. Obviously, it's not happening as often as you'd think it is, but players do want to play in their hometown. Obviously, there's a bunch of rumors going around about the big-name free agent Johnny Gaudreau right now. But, yeah, what do you guys think? Is that even a thing happening in the NCAA, or is just, like, a few players here and there?
I honestly think it's a few players.
Yeah, it is a thing.
A few players?
Yeah, it is a few players. It's just like, it's the guys who aren't like highly touted and they break out in the NCAA. Because, oh, wait, I can just play out my eligibility and then I can force their hand to either trade me there or I'll just sign there. So,
yeah, makes sense because Fox was a third round pick originally for the Flames. And then he had that breakout year in Harvard. And then obviously we know what happened. And now he's won a Norris Trophy for the Rangers. So, yeah, that's the Kevin Fiala trade. And obviously the biggest trade during the draft the last 2 days was obviously the Alex DeBrincat trade. As you can see, Chicago got the 7th overall pick, the 39th overall pick, and a 2024 third-round pick in exchange for Alex DeBrincat, and he was shipped off to Ottawa. What did you guys think of that trade?
Absolute steal for Ottawa. Absolute steal.
Yeah, they walked the carpet with the fucking Blackhawks. They just threw them right through the mud and got DeBrincat for pretty much nothing. What did you think of that puck, Mr. Puck Empire?
I thought it was a steal also for Ottawa. I mean, they were looking for a top six forward, and they got him. They got one for Kevin Korchinski, Paul Ludwinski, and a third round pick in next year's draft. Like that's a steal. Like those are guys like Ludwinski. What is he going to be, a top forward? And then Korchinski, top four defenseman. Like that's not worth it for a 40 goal scorer. Like who's a 40 goal scorer who's only 25? Like DeBrincat. It's,
yep. I just want to add on. Since 2018-19, three players have more 30-plus goal seasons than DeBrincat. Drysdale, McDavid, Matthews, that's it.
Damn.
And Ottawa just added him for three picks, eh? Unreal.
Yeah.
Great trade.
Yeah. Ottawa, obviously, they were all over the market trying to add a top six piece. Obviously, they were in on Kevin Fiala as well. That didn't work out as he got shipped off to LA. And now they get DeBrincat. Obviously, they're not done. We've seen the reports. They want to get a goalie. Oh, yeah. And then I obviously forgot. Originally, the trade involving the 7th overall pick, it was going to be Matt Murray packaged with the 7th overall pick going to Buffalo. If that went through, what would you guys rate that trade for the Senators now that DeBrincat is a Senator with that pick?
Well, I saw a report by, I think, Bruce Gerrish that he said that Ottawa still would have done the trade, actually, with number 16 and Murray. Mm. Yeah, but they just would have had to add, like, I think, a second-round pick or another piece. But they still would have done the trade, which is kind of insane, the fact that Chicago would have literally settled for 16th overall as the main piece of the trade for DeBrincat is kind of crazy. That just kind of shows what's going on with Kyle Davidson. Like, I don't think he knows what he's doing as a manager. He's not a good GM. From what I've heard, too, like, a lot of GMs do not like the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Kyle Dubas is one that we heard the report from. Yeah, he's not liked around the NHL, from what I've heard.
Yeah, the thing that Panos referenced was obviously the trade for Marc-Andre Fleury at the trade deadline and how Toronto originally thought that they were going to get Marc-Andre Fleury, but somehow the trade got out and then things just didn't end up happening and he got shipped off to Minnesota. So if you want to be a GM, just a good note that you probably shouldn't leak stuff like that. And then if you want to be respected, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that, please. And then, obviously,
there's other stuff I've heard about Davidson too. Though I can't go too in deep, but know that he's done this stuff with a bunch of GMs already, and he's only been in front office for how long? Like
not even like even 8 months. That he's been 8 months. Yeah, eight months maybe. Yeah,
and he's already hated by like multiple GMs.
Yeah, not the reputation you want to garner as a rookie GM in the NHL. So obviously there was that trade, one of the biggest trade that we've seen at the draft in recent memory. And then obviously the goalie market kind of shook up a little as Detroit Red Wings acquired goaltender Ville Husso from the St. Louis Blues for a third round pick in the 2022 NHL draft. I don't know what overall the pick was, but yeah, it was a 2022 NHL draft pick. So, and they obviously signed him to an extension, 3 year. I forget the AAV. Someone can probably throw it out there.
I think it was in the high fours.
It was 4.75. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, 4.75 on a 3 year deal.
Mm-hmm. Not too shabby, but what do you guys think? Nice trade.
I hate goalies. I hate goalies. Like, I have no thoughts because they're a wild card every year. Like, that's all I have to say about that. I mean, if you're not a top five goalie, then I straight up don't care about goalies. Not gonna lie.
There we go. Kevin established that he doesn't like goalies. So, Panos, what did you think about the trade?
I didn't like it, even though Detroit only gave up a third. Like, you're paying Billy Huso, who, in my opinion, was, like, one of the league's worst backup goaltenders just a year ago. Like, I didn't think he should have even been an NHL goaltender. He had a really good year, top 10 goaltender this year, for sure. He got Vezina goals, even. But, like, it's Billy Huso, and you're giving him a three-year deal at almost $5 million for, like, come on now.
They even have Nedeljkovic already. Like, I don't know why they need Billy Huso either. Like, leave him for a team that actually needs a goalie. Like, I don't know if the Maple Leafs would have pulled off a trade like this, but I don't know. Like, why is Detroit even making this move? As good as, like, apparently Huso is, just after one breakout season and you're giving him a 3-year times 4.75, I honestly don't know what they're doing with that. But yeah, we'll see how it turns out. And then obviously there's another trade, Vitek Vanacek from the Capitals, and plus the 46th overall pick in the 2022 NHL draft to the New Jersey Devils for the 37th overall pick and pick number 70 in the draft. What did you guys think of that? Obviously, Kevin hates goalies.
I didn't really care, to be honest.
I will say,
I didn't really care about this trade too much, just because, like, New Jersey, they need more than a guy like Vitek Vanacek in net to be good. Like, and Mackenzie Blackwood, if he has problems with his heel injury still, like, Vitek Vanacek's not going to be the savior of the franchise. So I think they should have went all in on a guy like John Gibson or something.
Wait, what? How do you know?
Yeah, how do you know?
How do you know? I'm just kidding.
It's Vitek Vanacek. Like,
yeah,
I'm just joking. And save the franchise. Like.
I will say that it's a good, like, low cost goalie. Like, especially if they're in on Goudreau, it's good. It's good that you're not spending too much on a goalie. So that's the positive of that trade.
Yeah,
obviously the Peter Mrazek trade, they packaged their pick, the Toronto Maple Leafs did. They packaged their pick to the Chicago Blackhawks, and I honestly, it is a cap dump, because who really wants Peter Mrazek as their backup anymore? Because obviously, I don't know, he is kind of, he did have a off Toronto, but then again, they paid him way too much to be their backup. What did you think of that trade, Panos?
I liked it. I think for both teams, I liked it, because for Toronto, you clear up, I think he's making, like, I don't know, in the $3 million, right? So for that, you get rid of that contract, you move back in the draft, you still get a pick, only 11 spots down, I think it was. So I don't hate that. And then Chicago, they needed a goalie anyways, because they don't have a goalie under contract other than Arvid Soderblom, you know, so they don't even have a goalie. So Mrazek, just add him. If he's good, then you can flip him for more stuff too. But if he sucks, then whatever. It doesn't really affect you. You don't need the cap space. You're Chicago. You're going to be complete and trash for years to come.
Yeah, the pick, the Leafs traded the 25th overall pick with Mrazek to Chicago for the 38th. So yeah, that's a nice trade for the Leafs, clearing up cap space. Now they're looking for two goalies in the market currently. Where do you think the Leafs are going to go in the market? Kevin, you can chip in as well. Panos, you can as well. What do you think the Leafs are going to do?
I think they'll probably re-sign Campbell, to be honest. I don't really know what else is out there. Maybe they trade for Matt Murray, but it's between Murray or Campbell.
What do you think, Panos? We all know you're a Matt Murray fan, so you probably want that.
Everybody knows where I'm at. Yeah, I think everybody knows where I'm at with this. I'm on the Matt Murray to Toronto train. I want to get him out of Ottawa. Like, if I was his agent, I'd be getting him out of Ottawa right now and getting him to either Toronto or Edmonton. Just get him out of Ottawa, man. Like, please, I need him to be on a good team right now. Everyone knows my stance on Matt Murray, That's what I have to say. Get him to Toronto, get him on a good team, and let him win another Stanley Cup. Let's go.
Yeah. And then obviously the Oilers, obviously they did trade Cassian to the Arizona Coyotes. They swapped, I think it was the 27th or the 29th for the 32nd. Yeah, it was the
29.
Yep. Yeah. They swapped 29th for the 32nd, and I think they only got, I think they gave up a second and a third as well. Yeah, yeah.
2025 seconds.
Yeah, the second was like 5 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot another trade. My mind's going all over the place. Obviously, there was the two trades during the draft alongside the Mrazek one. The first trade was Montreal traded Romanov plus several other picks to New York in exchange for the 13th overall pick, and I think it was one more pick. And then in exchange, they flipped that 13th overall pick in exchange to the Chicago Blackhawks in exchange for Kirby Dach. First off, what do you guys think of the Romanov trade to the Islanders?
Lou Lamoriello. That's like, I don't need to elaborate.
Yeah, that describes it perfectly. Yeah, what did you think, Panos? Let's see.
That stuff was just weird to me, man. Like, I was just making a post about Shane Wright dropping the draft, and these guys are like making like 15 trades at once. Like, can you guys like simmer it down a bit? Like, I was trying to catch up on all the picks that were happening, and they're trading like 15 guys. Like, stop it.
Yeah, like poor Gary Bettman, they had him announce the picks, and he's also getting up there in age, so it took him like an eternity to announce the trade. And Montreal fans were just looking up like, what is going on? And then obviously that trade goes down, then they acquire Kirby Dach, and then fans were cheering. But yeah, what do you guys think trading the 13th overall for Kirby Dach?
I didn't like either of the trades that either team did for 13. I don't think Romanov was I don't hate the Romanov one, honestly. I saw a lot of people clowning it. He's a good defenseman. I wouldn't have given 13 for him, but he's still good. But Kirby Dach is not worth the number 13 overall pick, in my opinion. I didn't like that trade at all.
I'm going to disagree here, just for fun. Ooh, I still think Dach has potential. He's only 21. But if he, yeah, it's a bad trade if he doesn't make any progress. I think Montreal has to work with him to help him fulfill his potential. But yeah, I don't hate that trade for Dach. But yeah, I don't know. I think Montreal fans should tone it down though. He's not the center of the future. Like, I'm seeing that on Twitter. He's not that. Relax.
Yeah, Habs fans are kind of losing it. They obviously got Slefkovsky, then Dach, then a bunch of other players, but. Yeah, you guys should probably tone it down, because Dach, even though he did need to change the scenery from Chicago as it was, wasn't sort of working out. I don't really think at this stage where Montreal is, I don't really think you should have traded the 13th overall pick. I think they were better off keeping that and drafting a player than trading it for Kirby Dach. They probably would have gotten a better player than Kirby Dach.
I mean, well, yeah. Keep in mind, Dach is still 21. Like, it's not like he's that far out of their timeline. So that's what I think of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a whatever trade. Like, you can't really be like, oh, they won this, they won that. It's just like a whatever trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see in a few years.
Yeah, and then, Sergachev commented on Mr. Puck Emperor's post with the smacking his head emoji. So that was fun. Wait, was it the smacking his head emoji, or am I just tripping?
He said Jesus Christ with the smacking head emoji. He was not happy with that trade.
He probably got flashbacks of getting traded for Drouin. Yeah, and how they shipped off Romanov now. Yeah, Montreal doesn't like their defensemen. And then, obviously, another trade that happened on day two of the NHL draft was Tony DeAngelo to the Philadelphia Flyers. Another weird trade, because, like, if you're Philly, you're really going to, like, they sign him to an extension as well. Like, you sign him to a two-year extension worth $5 million per season. Like, what are you doing in life? What are you doing? Like, exactly. Like, what the hell are you doing? In the position where he is, like, what are you doing with that pick?
It's funny, because how do you think DeAngelo and Torts are going to be in the dressing room? Like, I don't know how that will go, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, that dynamic is not going to be fun because we all know the type of player D'Angelo is. He has clashed heads with players and even coaches. And we also know his reputation from when he was in the OHL to now in the NHL. And then obviously Tortorella being the coach he is, it's going to be fun to see what happens, especially in Philly. Like, what are they doing? Like, they're not going to rebuild. They probably should. But with this trade, they traded a second overall pick, a third
Round.
overall pick, and a fourth. No,
Second
not
round.
overall. Sorry.
Yeah,
A round. Yeah. Panos, let's hear it. Let's see what you have to say. You're not the biggest D'Angelo
I
fan.
hate it, man. I don't even mind D'Angelo anymore, to be honest, but I just hate it because, like, what is Philly doing? Like, you're not contending at all. At max, if you somehow do, like, claw your way into a playoff spot in the Metro, you're a first round exit. You're not good. Just rebuild and get Connor Bedard. That's every team that's not good enough to at least win a playoff round this year should be tanking for Connor Bedard, in my opinion. Like,
Probably,
especially
yeah.
Philly, though. Like, you guys just
Yeah.
were abysmal. You guys had two
And
10 game losing streaks this season, I think.
they're
And you
at the
think you can
cap.
contend now, really? Yeah,
They're at the
yeah. They
cap.
have, like, how
Like,
much cap do they have?
what?
Yeah, how much cap do they have, Kevin? Let's hear it.
Like 2 mil, I'm pretty sure.
I think, I don't know
Like,
if Cap Friendly updated it, but if I'm doing the math right, like 118K.
oh my gosh.
I'm
Oh
not
my
really sure
gosh.
what
That's
they're spending.
embarrassing.
And they have to re-sign Morgan Frost, Owen Tippett's
Oh
an
God.
RFA. Yeah. Yeah, that's that.
Yeah,
Oh, and they don't have a
Philly's.
backup goalie.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah, Philly's like the weirdest team out there right now. Like, obviously, they were in Johnny Gaudreau talks, but are they really in it now? Like, what cap space do they have? Even if they trade JVR, they're not going to have enough to sign Johnny Gaudreau. So, Philly is, it's they're a mind-boggling team. Like, Chuck Fletcher isn't really the best of GMs in the league. And then,
Yeah, no, he's
obviously.
arguably the worst GM in the league, honestly. He's really bad. He's really bad.
Yeah, and then another piece that came out today, obviously Oilers fans were celebrating on Twitter all over the place, is that Duncan Keith is retiring. Obviously he's only age is not really a factor right now. He is getting up there in age, 38, but in the end he was beaten up, and I don't honestly he probably couldn't have even played next season. Like, they were either gonna put him on LTIR. Or wait, was it LTR Panos, or what? Am I just tripping? Or is that Mike Smith?
That's
Yeah,
Mike Smith. Yeah.
Mike Smith is on LTIR. Yeah, but Keith could have been on LTIR too. He dealt with a couple injuries this year, so.
Yeah. It was either that or him retiring, and now obviously he retires, and then Chicago, with them retaining some money, they have the cap recapture penalty, and now they have to take on all of the money. I think it's five and
Five mil.
something million. Yeah, 5 mil this season, and then one and something next year. And then they practically have nothing left. Poor Chicago. They have nothing left to do anything, even though some players are gonna come off the books. But yeah, what do you guys think of Keith retiring? It's not really the biggest move. So Keith retiring, he's gonna be in the Hall of Fame at one point. Although what he did in Chicago and not speaking up for Kyle Beach, I think that should be a factor into his Hall of Fame selection. What do
I
you guys
think it should, yeah, I think it should be too. I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame for that. I'm not really going to go into details here, but yeah,
Yeah.
not a fan of the player or the guy, so.
Yeah, what do you think, Panos?
Yeah, for
Same
me that
thing?
was kind of disappointing about the Blackhawk Kyle Beach thing because Duncan Keith was one of my favorite players in like the 2015 area. Like when he won the Norris, I think it was, or the Conn Smythe, or both in 2015, I think it was. He was my favorite player in the league. He was really fun to watch. So he's like his skill definitely puts him in the Hall of Fame. But that entire like Blackhawks dynasty is kind of like tarnished to me just because of everything that happened in the organization, all the guys who knew what happened, like Quenneville too. And like Taze Kane, all those guys, like if they knew, which people are saying they did, that's bad, honestly.
And obviously there's the crowd out there that says, oh, off ice issues shouldn't lead into being selected into the Hockey Hall of Fame. It should just strictly be what they did on the ice. I don't think that should be the case. Because if you look at majority of the players that are in the Hockey Hall of Fame right now, obviously some of them, like even before, like there's some players that are in the Hockey Hall of Fame that you can't really take back their selections because it's been so long since they've been in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Like they're the older players. But now that we're in the type of era where stuff like that does matter, and he shouldn't be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Like even if you look at another player that statistically on his on-ice stuff, like on-ice merit, he should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame is Theo Fleury. But he single-handedly won't be because of his off-ice issues. So we all know what his off-ice issues are. Some people would be like, oh, you're a liberal.
Just look at his Twitter. You'll find out.
Yeah. And then, yeah, that's it for the Keith retiring thing. And then
obviously add one more thing?
Yeah, you can add.
Yeah, so, like, these guys are role models. Like, to the crowd that's like, oh, off-ice stuff doesn't matter. Like, no, it matters. Like, these are who the role models are for kids, like the people in the Hall of Fame. So if you're putting that in the Hall of Fame, you're not setting a good example for kids, you know what I mean? So that's my stance on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much gives it for all three of us as well. And then obviously other potential moves that didn't happen. Bruce Gerioch with the big dagger for Flames fans. That apparently there was rumors of Tkachuk to New Jersey for the second overall pick. What do you guys think of that?
I'd love to touch on this for a second. So if Goudreau leaves, mm-hmm. it's very easy to say in hindsight, oh, like, yeah, you should have taken that deal. As it stands right now, the Flames want to keep Goudreau. And after what I heard from Tree Living after the draft, I think I'm pretty optimistic as well. If that's the case, there's no reason to trade Tkachuk for the second overall pick. But if Goudreau walks, then it's going to look really bad. You know what I mean? So it's kind of a tough decision there because if Goudreau walks, for sure they should have traded that and started to rebuild. But it's hard to say right now with lots of question marks. So that's what I think of that.
Yeah, what about you, Panos? I'll dive in after.
All right, yeah. You guys are both Flames fans, so I mean, you guys are probably more closer to the situation than I am. I'm just coming from like a neutral standpoint, but I personally would have done that. It was the second overall pick and more, apparently, for Matthew Tkachuk. And personally, for me, I know Calgary's been looking for like a top tier center for like how long? Like, they have Elias Lindholm, I like good, but like, he's not a 1C, I don't think.
Yeah, being in on Eichel as well, like, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So I would have done it. You get Shane right at two. I'm assuming that's who Calgary would have went with if they got the second overall pick. I would have done it even if you do keep Goudreau, just because you've got Pelletier coming up too. I don't know. I just think Matthew Tkachuk's playoff performances have kind of lowered him overall for me personally. I really like him as a player. He's really fun to watch. He's gritty. He's a power forward and he scores. He had 100 points this season, but his playoff performances the last 2-3 years have just been pretty not great.
For sure. Yeah, no, I find that he kind of like has a difficult time keeping up with the pace of playoff hockey, so it's kind of a issue there.
Yeah, he resorts to his like pest moves. Like we saw it in the first round with Raffle. The Stars. Yeah. With Raffle and even Klingberg there for a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously me and Kevin being Flames fans, we have our views on Matthew Tkachuk. Like obviously it's been like there are rumors that he would like, who wouldn't like to play in their hometown, but there are rumors that he would eventually like to play in St. Louis. Like even if let's just say Goudreau does sign, he's not going to sign a long-term contract like his brother. It's either going to be another bridge deal like he signed 3 years ago, like the 3-year deal. But if you're Calgary in this situation where you do get offered this like this much stuff for Matthew Tkachuk, I think you should take it. Because Shane Wright was still there. And you're looking for that center that you have been all along. Like, you haven't had a top-line center since Joe Nieuwendyk in 1995. You haven't had a top lane center. Like, you wasted Jerome Iginla's prime by not surrounding him with players that could win with him. And now you're doing the same with Johnny Gaudreau. And I don't know, at this point, I would have done the trade. Like, obviously, out on the outside looking in, I did hear that it was a bunch of, like, I think it was two or three prospects that were involved from New Jersey's side. And plus, I think there were pick swaps as well. Like, it was two picks from New Jersey's side and two from Calgary's side. But even if that trade did go through, I think Calgary should have done that. Calgary really should have done that. But I'm not going to get too much into it. So Tkachuk's not a New Jersey Devil. He's still with the Calgary Flames. So we'll see where that contract situation goes.
Yeah, that would have been a great start to a rebuild if you're Calgary. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's tough. There's arguments for both sides.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, obviously we touched on the Matt Murray to Buffalo trade. And then obviously there was one out there that Patrick like the GM of the Vancouver Canucks, Patrick Elvin, did refute that there were talks about JT Miller apparently going to the New York Islanders. How much depth was there to that, Panos, if you know at all?
Well, we'll never really know, just because
exactly
that guy who just won't out. I'm pretty sure I saw a report actually from years ago that when he was making the trade with Vancouver for Corey Schneider and ninth overall, I think it was, or sixth overall, whatever it was, for Bo Horvat, he basically said, if you guys leak this information, like, the trade's done, I'm getting rid of it. So I think that anybody who tries to trade with the Islanders tries to keep it quiet, and maybe the Islanders still have interest in JT Miller, which is why Alvin refuted the report to try and keep things under wraps. The thing is, apparently it's being reported that Vancouver is just not allowing anybody to have contract extension talks with JT Miller right now.
Oh,
I don't know if it's because maybe it'll reveal, like, information that he is going to go to free agency no matter what next year. So, like, maybe they don't want to lose that leverage. But they're not letting anybody make contract talks with them right now.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about that, because if you're the Canucks, you have to trade JT Miller eventually, because it's been out there that the Canucks don't want to extend him either. So, like, what are they really doing? Kevin, what do you think of that?
I don't really have anything to add on here.
And then, another tweet that I just saw, it was from Carlo Koliakovo, former Leaf. He's like, Lou Lamoriello traded Devontae's for 2 second-rounders and then paid a first for Alex Romanov. that's another tweet from yesterday. And then, obviously, there was Kyle Dubas in his interview as well. He's like, this tweet is from Chris Johnston. Kyle Dubas asked if he's concerned that RFA Rasmus Sandin might get an offer sheet. He's like, if there's going to be an offer sheet, the sooner the better, so we can make the decision to move on. That's a cold reply right there. And then, obviously, Kevin, you can go ahead.
Sorry, I think there's a general misinterpretation to that tweet. I think a lot of people saw it as like, they don't want Sandin, but after like talking to some friends, I realized I was even interpreting it wrong. What he meant to say is that Sandin has the same agent as William Nylander, and if you know how those talks went last time, it took until last minute, last hour. So, he's just saying like, hopefully there's an offer sheet so that they can just get him signed, don't have to wait till December. So,
and then, obviously, there's a bunch of things. So, out of all of these trades, which one is your favorite? It's probably going to be DeBrincat or Fiala. Let's see. DeBrincat?
Mine?
Yeah.
The DeBrincat trade definitely was fun. I like the Fiala trade, too, just because I cover L.A. exclusively as well for another thing, and it's going to be fun to watch him play in L.A. Those are my two for sure. They're the best ones, in my opinion.
Yeah, what do you think Ottawa's going to do now? Apparently they've been in the rumors on Claude Giroux and stuff like that. So what do you think where they are? Do you think they'd be a contender in the playoffs, or not a contender in the playoffs? Sorry, I worded that wrong. Do you think they'd be close to making it to the playoffs, or are they pretty much like a wild card team or third place in the Atlantic?
No, they're most definitely like gonna compete for a playoff spot this year, and I think they could do it, honestly. I want to see the rest of their offseason. I do think they need another top four defenseman. I really thought they were gonna be the ones to get Tony D'Angelo for a bit, honestly, just because he's a right side defenseman. I'm pretty full time, and he's available. And I want to see what they do with their depth, and obviously goaltending is gonna be interesting. Yep. But they're doing some good things. They're kind of showing that they're actually finally serious now. Mm-hmm. So I'd be scared if the Atlantic Division, because the Atlantic Division is already tough, and now if Ottawa gets good too, it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, Pierre Dorion finally did something good for once. Finally pulled the trigger on a trade. And then, yeah, Kevin, I think your favorite trade is obviously DeBrincat as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think.
Or is it one of the goalie trades?
Yeah, hell yeah. No. But yeah, no, DeBrincat definitely. I think it's time that Ottawa starts experiencing winning. So, because at some point you have to win. Yeah, good trade. Mm. Great trade.
Yeah, it's an overall consensus of all three of us. DeBrincat trade, you can't go wrong. And then obviously now the draft is done. Some trades have already happened. And we're on to free agency. Free agency, the period starts on Wednesday, July 13th. So obviously there's some pretty big names out there. And we're going to give our predictions to where some of these players might go and what their contracts might look like. So let's start things off. Obviously the biggest name out there, the biggest UFA out there is obviously our boy, Johnny Gaudreau. I know, Flames fans don't want to hear this, but yeah, Johnny Gaudreau, what do we think? Is he going to remain a Calgary Flame or is he taking his talents back home?
Based on what True Living said, I'm actually pretty optimistic that he re-signed. So my prediction is, staying in Calgary.
Yeah. What's the contract going to look like? Let's hear it.
I think Brad True Living will up his offer last minute. I think that's why Gaudreau is holding out a little bit, maybe get that leverage. So I'm gonna say I won't say by much, maybe like 9.75 times 8.
Yep. Smart. Panos, let's hear it. What do you think? Is he staying in Calgary?
He's either staying in Calgary or I have him going to New Jersey. I think it depends just at the end of the day where he wants to be between those two. I don't think any other team has a chance at Gaudreau. And I think it'll be like a max term deal, like 7 or 8, like depending on those two, for 10 mil per. That's my prediction.
Yeah, my prediction for Gaudreau. I have heard some things covering the Flames for however long I have now. I've heard some things that, like, people have heard as well, like, oh, the contract talks were, like, quiet for a bit there. But from what I've heard, contract talks did pick up again this week leading up to the draft, as the Flames did want to see what Gaudreau's camp wanted to do. Because obviously, if you have the UFA and you're just about less than a few days away from the free agency period starting, obviously you want to start planning what you want to do if the player doesn't want to sign. So I do think he will return to Calgary. Originally, I heard that people around the contract situation about a week and a half ago weren't too happy that he didn't believe that he was going to come back to Calgary. But now with the comments, like Kevin pointed out from Tree and even just reports as of late, I think he will be a Calgary Flame for long term. I think currently the contract offer that was being reported is 8 years times 9.5. I think they will up their offer to eight times 10, like max. I think they take it to his 10.5, and I think he will sign for 10. Like 10 is, I think that's more than enough, because no one's going to be able to match that on the open market, because the eighth year plays a big role for Johnny Gaudreau and signing a contract with the Flames. So yeah, Johnny Gaudreau back to the Calgary Flames. And then obviously right after him is Nazem Kadri. Where do you guys see Naz going after his nice season with Colorado? Let's hear it from Panos first.
Let's see. He's a hard one to predict because I don't know what he's going to do. Like, is he going to take up? Like, I could even see him taking a pay cut to stay long-term in Colorado.
Yeah,
but I don't think he's going to do it at the end of the day. I think he's going to take his money. He's going to cash in. If I had to guess a team, it'd be a complete guess because it's a crapshoot at this point. I'd probably go Seattle, honestly. That's just a gut feeling for me.
Yeah, Kevin, let's hear it.
It's too bad that the Flyers are capped, because I 100% would have said them.
Mm-hmm.
But as Pano said, yeah, complete wild card. So I'll do the same prediction, I guess, Seattle.
Yeah, I can't really think of a team at the moment. So I think I'd have to go. Let me think. I'm going to sit here and list options. New Jersey could be a fit if they don't get Gaudreau. I think
he'd be their 3C. I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. I forget their center depth is like next level with Heischer and Hughes. So that won't work out. So, yeah, let's go with Seattle.
Detroit.
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 Definitely.
Detroit.
They have a ton of
talent. That could work. And then, obviously, the man, the myth, the legend, Claude Giroux, the guy that didn't go to the Colorado Avalanche and instead chose the Florida Panthers. He could have won a cup. So where is the ginger going?
I'm going to say, like, I want to say, like, Ottawa, just because it sounds like he's seriously considering it. I'm going to go with Ottawa. Honestly. I think he's going to go Ottawa, especially after what they did with firing DeBrincat. Like,
yeah, overall consensus, I think he is going to go to Ottawa. So, yeah, Kevin, are you in the same boat?
Yep, make it three of us. I'll say three. I'll say a three-year deal, and I'll put it at, I guess, maybe 6.75.
That works. And then, obviously, the goalie market is shaping up. Darcy Kemper, obviously. I forgot to even mention the Colorado trade. They traded for, what's the player again? I forget his name. I know they did a trade.
Georgiev.
Yes, Alexander Georgiev from the Rangers. That's another trade we forgot to talk about. Just slipped my mind, and I just thought about it. But yeah, his time in Colorado is over after just a short stint. So, where's Darcy Kemper going? I think it's going to be Edmonton, because they were in on him when the Avs originally got him. Like you heard. I think it was Friedman talking about it, that they valued Connor Timmins more than what the Oilers were offering in the trade. So they went with Colorado. The Coyotes did. So I think he is going to go to Edmonton. And I think they're going to overpay him. I think they're going to sign him to a five-year deal worth more, upwards of $5 million. I think it's going to be over that. I think they are going to overpay for a goalie.
Yeah, yes, same here. I think Kenny Holland's just going to absolutely put all his chips in now with Duncan Keith's contract off the books, too. He's going all in, and he's gonna overpay for Darcy Kemper. I don't think Darcy Kemper's a bad goalie, but, like, he's going to overpay for him a lot.
I'll say six by six in Edmonton, because I know they were in on Markstrom, too, a few years ago. They were giving him seven times six. I'll say, I'll say, like, 5.75 to six, 6 years for Kemper. Actually, no, he's 32. I forgot about that. Maybe five or four.
I think that's what it's going to be.
Yeah,
and then that brings it right back to the Oilers again. Evander Kane, what do you think they're going to do with that? Do you think after getting their goalie, do you think they're going to keep Evander Kane again? Like, is he willing to stay in Edmonton for a pay cut, or is he going to cash out and sign with a different team?
As much as I cannot stand that guy. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
From what I've heard, apparently, like, Edmonton's not even close to what Evander Kane's asking for right now. And also, it's hard for teams to kind of gouge, like, what's going to happen, because he doesn't have the grievance thing yet. With the NHL to see if San Jose is going to take his contract back on the books or what. It's hard for teams to kind of navigate what's going to happen with Evander Kane, but I've heard Edmonton's not even close to what he's asking for right now.
Yeah. Kevin, what were you going to say?
I'm actually glad he went first, because I would have sounded like an idiot there. So,
let's hear it.
Analysis is good. I agree with Pano. I forgot about the grievance situation, not going to lie. So.
Yeah, I did as well. So, I don't, like, he's... And then, I think no team's going to sign him on day one. They're going to wait till the grievance, obviously. And then Philip Forsberg, I think he stays in Nashville. It's a given. I think he does stay in Nashville. 8 times 8, or maybe even more.
Apparently Nashville is offering low eights and Philip Ford was asking for high eights on a max term deal. Shit. So I think they got to meet right in the middle at like 8.5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it will happen though. I think he's going to stay.
Yeah. What about you, Kevin?
Same boat. I don't think it's like that insane of a difference. I think they'll both come down to each other's term. So, yeah, 8 times 8.5.
Yeah, and then obviously there's still a bunch of Colorado players that are going to be out there. Obviously, after winning the Cup, they can't really sign everyone again. So one of the main pieces, the guy that scored so many goals in the playoffs for them, Valery Nichushkin. So where do you guys think he's going? Where is he packing his luggage and leaving? Or is he leaving?
I'm going to say he's staying in Colorado, honestly. I just think he's going to – he realized that they kind of, like, revived his career when he's kind of looking like a draft bust. So I think he's going to maybe even take a pay cut just to stay there. It'll be, a mid- to long-term deal, though. So he's going to be in Colorado for a while. I just think he might take less than market value to stay there.
Yeah, I think I'd predict the same as well. I think for where he was in the playoffs and what he did in the regular season and what he has done with the Avalanche, he'd be – I'm not going to call him stupid because you want to obviously make the big bucks out there, but he'd be kind of dumb to not stay in Colorado because the fit with Colorado and him is just natural. So he'd be weird to leave Colorado. But yeah, I think he'd sign like a 4-year mid-level deal. So what about you, Kevin? What do you think?
Honestly, I see him as a pretty close comparable in terms of contracts to Blake Coleman. So I'll say maybe six times five. Maybe lower term, like 5 times 5 or around there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then today, Pierre LeBrun, I think, reported that they were talking originally, like Tampa Bay and Andre Palat were talking, but signs are pointing to him hitting the open market. So where does Andre Palat go?
He's going to go to, like, the most random team. And like, Andre Palat, he's going to be a Columbus Blue Jacket. That's just my prediction or something like that. Like, he's just going to go somewhere really weird. Like, he reminds me kind of Gustav Nyquist, just that situation where just out of nowhere, he just randomly chose Columbus. Like, I don't know why. I'm just getting the vibes.
Oh, no, definitely. Welcome to the San Jose Sharks, Andre Palat. Makes no sense, but I honestly have no better ideas. So maybe even Winnipeg. I don't know. Maybe Winnipeg wants to sign Palat. Actually, who wants to go to Winnipeg? I grew up. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Does he want to go to Winnipeg after being an
No. We'll say San Jose just for jokes because I don't know.
I think he's gonna go to Dallas. The Dallas Stars.
Another random team.
Yeah, another random team. Like, what are they really doing? They hired Peter Cole. Oh yeah, Anaheim. Yeah, I think that'd actually be a nice fit for the young players that they have, with Getzlaff leaving, and then they literally have what, like, Kevin Shattenkirk and Cam Fowler as the main veteran pieces. So that could work.
Yeah,
that is a good fit. Anaheim is a good fit. I agree.
Yeah. But yeah, I still think he's going to Dallas. Dallas is the wagon. He's going to Dallas.
Let's touch on Klingberg then next if we're
John
talking
Klingberg.
About Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah, where's their third best defenseman going?
I'm saying Seattle, honestly. I think Seattle's just going to go all in and overpay a bunch of free agents there, and I can just see him there. Like, I can just imagine him in a Seattle jersey too.
You're just picturing the image in your head right now. That's what it is.
Yeah, I am actually.
Just like Shane Wright. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, where do you think he's going, Kevin? Seattle as well, or just another?
I have no better guesses, honestly. I don't know. Like, I'm not really sure who's in the market for an offensive defenseman.
Yeah,
yeah. I can't really think. So, Seattle.
And I could see Ottawa too.
Oh yeah,
maybe, but
just
I don't
for
know.
For the sake of it, like, if they can't get another defenseman,
maybe. But I mean, he's very similar to Shabbat. Like, I don't. Shabbat's way better, obviously. But
I don't
really
think they
know.
Should get Klingberg. Yeah, I don't think they should. But I could just see them as like a target spot if they don't want any trade for him.
Yeah,
because I think they really do
want
like,
for the.
Yeah. Aren't they also in on I forgot about that guy. But yeah. Well, no, the Flames are gonna get Ben Sherratt. How you forgot, Kevin?
Oh my god, enough.
And then obviously the last big like goalie that's even on the market anymore, Jack Campbell. You think he's going to Toronto again after what's went down the last few days? And or is he going to take his talent somewhere else? Like maybe New Jersey takes a flyer on him.
Buffalo.
Or maybe Buffalo. Yeah, I was just going to say Buffalo. Because yeah, they were. No Buffalo?
I think he resigns. I think he resigns.
Hmm. You think he take a pay cut or he singes all the money from Toronto?
That's tough, actually. I don't know. I feel like Toronto doesn't really have another option. You know what I mean? I can't really think of one right now.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, Panos, what do you think? Do you think they're going to trade for Muzz or sign Campbell?
I hope they go for Murray, but I think he's going to Toronto, too. Before today, I would have said he was going to back to Michigan, his home state, to play for the Red Wings. Yeah. But now they just got Ville Husso, so I don't really think there's a need for Campbell. I think the thing is, though, Toronto, there's other teams that can pay Jack Campbell more than Toronto. So it just depends on if you want to stay with a team that can get up, or does he want to go cash in for the most money he can possibly get?
Exactly. And then the thing with Jack Campbell, he's such a lovable guy that I think he's just the type of player. I think he's just the one to disappear away from like the media shine from Toronto. So I don't think he's going to sign. That's my take. I don't think he's going to sign in Toronto. Toronto's going to go. I think he goes Buffalo.
Nice.
Because Buffalo does need a goalie. I think Buffalo does take him.
Fair enough.
Because then for the type of personality Campbell has, I don't think he really likes talking to the media for how like soft-minded the guy is. Like we've seen his press conferences. So I think he does go to Buffalo.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll finish it off. Okay, so Vincent Trocheck, who signs him?
Boston.
That would actually work out.
That was
out.
Quick, and I agree with that, too.
Yeah, Boston, yeah. He seems like a Boston guy, yeah.
Yeah, you reunite the cars
Which
together.
Which would be funny, though, because of his beef. His beef with Marchand would be really funny, because...
And then Evgeny Malkin, I think he's going back to the Penguins. They're just going to have to settle it. I think he stays in Pittsburgh.
The thing is, like, the Penguins are being kind of dumb right now, and they're just refusing to give him an extra year. Yeah, they're not giving him the extra year term. Like, but at that point, you're going to suck anyways. And
exactly.
Might not even be the GM of Pittsburgh. So just give him the extra year so you can keep Malkin. Or else you're going to be known as the guy who forever let Evgeny Malkin leave the Penguins. So
pay
him, like, right now. If he leaves, I think he's going to go to Carolina, my pick, though.
Oh, my God, Carolina. I can't imagine.
Yeah, he'd be a great fit on Washington, especially with Backstrom on LTIR. He can't do the Penguins.
That's gonna ruin his legacy with the Penguins.
Right? Like that's the thing. Yeah. So maybe they go for like Kopp or something. Oh, maybe Kadri actually ends up in Washington if it doesn't work out. But
And then obviously the last I'll give you two more names. Andrei Burakovsky. Obviously
really care enough, to be honest.
okay, we'll stop that. We don't really care about Andrei Burakovsky anymore. Okay, last name. I don't really care about this guy either, but Andrew Kopp, you think he stays in New York or goes somewhere else?
I think he should stay in New York. I don't know if they'll keep him, but he should definitely stay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kevin, last thought. Let's hear it.
No, either he stays or, like I said, Washington may be a good fit.
Okay, yeah. So there we go. Obviously, there's other names out there, but like Kevin said, I don't really care enough about them, so we just left them off the list. The player.
One more, because this is a given, I swear to God. Ilya Mikheyev to the Devils, if they don't get Goudreau, it's a given.
Yeah,
that's gonna happen. The Devils are just a weird team. They pivot right after they don't get their big name player, and then just sign some random out of nowhere, and they pay the ever living shit out of that guy.
Yep.
Yeah. And then that's pretty much it. We don't really care about the rest of the guys. So there's that, the free agency list. Looking forward to the free agency period. It's going to be a fun one, an intense one, and obviously some big names that are still yet to sign with their original teams, like Johnny Gaudreau and Philip Forsberg, and there's some that are still out there waiting for new teams. And yeah, that's the first ever episode of the Puck Empire podcast. Do you have anything to say, Panos?
I'm excited to get this going and do this consistently, and because I've had a lot of followers asking for it. We have a big free agency day coming up on Wednesday, and that'll make for a great episode right after that. Record and talk about whatever the hell happened that day.
Any final thoughts, Kevin?
I'm super excited to keep going. Absolutely love talking to you guys. So free agency will be fun.
Free agency is going to be a fun one. So, and it was fun recording with some of the nicest guys that I know. Panos, I'll let you end it. That's your podcast. Let's go, Puck Empire.
All right. I'll see you guys in the next episode, obviously. That's how you end it, right?